Very good. Let me just reiterate the upcoming schedule here so that no one gets confused. Today is what date? July 15th? We're here. Next week is July 22nd. We're at House Church. The following week is July 29th. It's a fifth Sunday. There's usually four fifth Sundays every year. There's probably always four fifth Sundays. Someone who's good with math and calendars could probably tell me if it's a definitive, but there's four fifth Sundays every year, and on the fifth Sundays, we do something special. One time, we went down to Ark Encounter in Kentucky as a church on a tour bus. Sometimes, we do something special here in the winter months, but anytime it's nice enough, typically what we do is go to church in the park. And this time, we do it at different parks. This time, we're doing it at High Banks Metro Park. When we do it at High Banks, it's not a reserved shelter, so I can't tell you which shelter it is. I'll just tell you that I'm going to be going there at like 7 a.m. or something that morning and sort of squatting at a shelter, so to speak, and saying, this is ours. Don't touch it. This is ours. Tablecloths are on it. See, it's ours. So I'll be doing that, and then you guys will come at 10. So you'll have to just look. We try to put up multiple signs at the metro parks, but there's rules against multiple signs. One sign is allowable, so you just have to kind of drive the circuit and look for the one Agathos sign that will manage to get up and not have taken down. And submission and authority again. And so we'll have that. We got to honor the authorities, right? And so we'll have that sign up, and you can find where we're at. If you haven't been to a church in the park yet, it's real fun. We say it starts at 10. Most people get there at 10:15 because it's church in the park. And then we usually socialize until 10:30. And then we'll have worship for a little bit, a very short message, because you don't want to do a long message at church in the park while bratwurst and hamburgers are grilling. There's competing interests going on. You know, the sense of smell is overruling the sense of hearing. And so it's a short message, little worship, short message. And then we basically eat lunch together and then just enjoy playing frisbee, throwing the football, running around playing tag, watching the kids be kids, catching up with someone you haven't talked to in a while. It's just a great opportunity. I want to highlight, if you guys are ready back there, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. That's a guess. If you find verse 42, you'll be close. Hey, you'll be right there if you find verse 42. Acts 2, 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. It's like a church model. They're doing four things. And in this list of four things, it doesn't say, and most importantly this, and then second most importantly this, and third most importantly that. Maybe it could be implied, but it doesn't say. So let's just say they're equally weighted in importance. They're all an equal part of the mixture, one cup of each, so to speak. Do you notice that the two things we think of as quote-unquote churchy things, like doctrine, the apostles' doctrine, in other words, teaching, like I'm about to do, and prayer, are only two out of the four things? Are you seeing what I'm saying? Yeah. Do you notice that fellowship and breaking bread together are two out of the four things that were part of the early church? Isn't that awesome? I'm not trying to make a rule. I'm just trying to paint a perspective. Think about this perspective. So just to encourage you, getting together as a church body to fellowship, eat bratwurst, throw frisbee, and have a short message is great. Getting together as a church body without even having a message is great. It's great. There's four things up here. There's four things up here. Look, I don't know if you guys are recording yet, but maybe go ahead and record. You are already? Good. And then I'm going to have you splice something out in a minute. I lost my train of thought. If someone is uncomfortable going to church if there's not a message, that's actually a problem. Like, not one that can't be fixed, but I'm going to speak to you from my heart a little bit. I believe this is the heart of the Father. Church is a family. Families can be together. Families who know each other well and have comfort and unity and peace and all those love for each other, they don't actually need to do things together in order to enjoy each other's company. They can actually just be together. So often what happens in church is I don't think our church is in too much danger of this, but we so highly structure things. We so highly structure things at church, people actually hide behind structures. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I'm serious. People hide behind structures. What ends up happening often at churches is people will come to a church. I was listening to a pastor of a large church, a very popular church, talk on a sermon about 9 months ago, 7 months ago. And I was like, oh my God, he's saying exactly what I've thought before. And it was this. He had this experience. I'm like, I've experienced that years ago. Not recently, years ago. But someone new comes to their church. They say, how can I get connected here? And he said, this pastor is sort of like, did you shake anyone's hand today? Did you meet anyone during the meet and greet time? Did you talk to anyone before or after service? And the guy was like, no. What are your home groups? Do you see what I'm saying? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. How would you meet people at a church? Hey, great to meet you. I'm Peter. What's your name? What do you do? Where do you live? Where are you from? Do you have any family here? Do you see what I'm saying? Yet what happens sometimes is church is so highly structured. In other words, I show up at church, immediately there's this event going on, then there's worship, and then there's this, and then we do this, and then everybody leaves. And it's actually very comfortable for me because then I actually don't need to talk to anyone. I feel like I was with people the entire time, but actually, truth be told, I only talked to people for 3 minutes. And I'm going to tell you what, you cannot change people's lives outside of the church if you can't talk to people in the church.
Amen. Yes.
You better watch out, I'm preaching. This is what happens a lot of times in church. Nobody's trying to do anything wrong, but you have so much structure, you actually end up hiding behind church structure, and you become unknown in the very environment that should be family where you're known. And so what ends up happening is that then you have something like Church in the Park, and if I change something with Church in the Park and I said, I'm not going to do a message today, some people melt inside. I'm serious. Because you know what no message means? Because if instead of me doing a message, I have you guys talk with each other at a table, do you know what that means? As long as Peter's talking, I don't have to have any intimacy going on with anybody else. But as soon as he stops talking and we have to talk to each other, now I have to be intimate with other people. And there's a great danger in that potentially because they might know me and they could reject me. But you're accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
And if there was ever a place for you to be accepted, it's in church. You are accepted in the beloved. This is God's great purpose for you to be with him forever. And so we need to model relationship in the church. Some of us are very relationally comfortable. That was not me, it is now me. And if I notice I'm in a situation where I'm not relationally comfortable, if I'm meeting a famous person and I notice there's a twinge of discomfort in me, do you know what I do? I take that to the Lord because there shouldn't be any. There doesn't need to be any. He paid for my acceptance in him that I would know that so full well that it would never even enter my cranial cavity to feel insignificant or that's not the right word, to feel insecure in a social setting. This is all off the page. Hopefully this is ministering to someone. Listen, if you're in an environment and you feel insecure, that means your security's in the wrong place. Because if your security's in the Lord, then he's the same always. But if my security's in what other people might think of me, then I'm in a certain situation and now all of a sudden I'm shaken. Okay, so Jeremiah 17 says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. So there's these two options. The fear of man lays a snare. And so if my identity is in Christ, now all of a sudden I have the potential to be in complete peace in every social situation that I'd ever be in. If my identity is outside of Christ, to whatever extent it's outside of Christ, now I have the potential for discomfort, anxiety, and despair in every social situation that I'd ever be in. I don't get condemned about it, I get excited about it. Any situation where I feel uncomfortable, that's an opportunity for me for an upgrade. for me to be transformed by renewing my mind to realize who I am in Christ, that I can be comfortable in who I am in Christ and not worried about what other people think about me. You might think, well, what's that have to do if you ask us, by the way, I'm going to ask you to talk in groups next week at Church in the Park. What's that have to do with you being uncomfortable potentially or someone being uncomfortable to talk in groups at Church in the Park? Do you see what I mean? Because that moment will happen where I'll say, hey, instead of me doing a sermon this week, I'm going to talk for 2 minutes, then you guys are going to talk. And some people, that's going to feel uncomfortable, and that you don't need to feel bad about that. But what's going to happen is some people are going to feel uncomfortable. And in that moment, you've got two tracks that you can take. You can either hate that I'm asking you to talk with someone else, or you can see it as an opportunity for an upgrade. If we, as the church, can't operate relationally, purely, beautifully, comfortably, joyfully, and all these sorts of things with each other, how will we be a beacon of light to the world? So much of what's been missing in the church is the two middle things. We've got apostles' doctrine, and we might have prayer, but what about breaking of bread and fellowship? We think that those things are less spiritual, but that's one of the ways I can commune with God, is by being with someone else who I regard no longer according to the flesh, who has the Spirit of God in them. Because they then become an expression to me of just how good God is, and His will in their life becomes an expression to me of just all that God wants to do in my life too. When you're in fellowship with other believers, you're actually communing with God. Isn't He in them? Isn't that awesome? I'm just telling you, we need to be careful as a church that we have our minds renewed according to what the Word actually says. And if there's four things listed that the early church was doing and two of them don't sound like church, then we need to view those things properly and in the proper light. And if we find ourselves uncomfortable in those sorts of scenarios, we need to be careful that we're not getting comfortable hiding behind the structures of church, not realizing that in talking with someone over a table and breaking bread together, we're actually doing something very profound and very wonderful, and we don't want to disdain those sorts of things. Jesus Himself spent so much time eating and drinking with folks that they called Him a glutton and a wine bibber. They accused Him of it. I mean, that ought to blow your mind. Jesus spent so much time eating and drinking with folks. Our Savior on earth, bringing the kingdom, was constantly eating and drinking with people. It's awesome. Now, see, this is why being a Christian is so hard. You've got to do things like eat food and drink with people and have a God who loves you so perfectly that you never need to be concerned what anybody else thinks about you. Isn't that awesome? That's the nature of our God. That's the nature of walking with Him. I might stop there. This is actually a neat segue. Go ahead and put the declaration up, if you would. And then we have a testimony. I'm glad we started recording because I think that ended up being part. What I just shared is something I've wanted to teach on for a long time. I'm going to teach on it probably more, but I'm just kind of starting to go there with you guys. We have an amazing opportunity as a church to do something that's quite unique. And this has been prophesied to us for a while that we're a prototype church. And in 2013, Mark Crawford, a friend of ours, was in and he was prophesying, you guys have an amazing opportunity as a church to do something that's very unique in the kingdom. One of the things that I think has been happening is God's been setting us up for that thing that He wants to do. Wouldn't that be like God, that He'd lead us in straight paths? One of the things that's been happening, we went from being only main service to being what? Main service and? House church. Do you know the million-dollar question that was begging? Like, we've done house church for about 3 years. The million-dollar question house church asks and answers is, can church be church if it's not in a church building? Think about it. How long have you heard for decades this phrase? The church is not the building. The building is not the church. You've heard that, right? Do you remember what happened when we said we're going to go to house church? Some people flipped out. And I'm not saying that critically. It's just like, why? Because we like to nod our heads to phrases like, the church is not the building. And then when you take that structure away and say, you guys are going to get together, worship together without a worship leader, but like, you guys, I mean, you got worship on your heart, right? You guys worship together, and you guys talk about the sermon, you guys minister to each other, and you guys eat together and talk amongst yourselves. All of a sudden, it's like, I don't like that. Not for everybody. Some people, that's their wheelhouse, just their personalities. That's easier for them. I understand that. Certain people that would never, that are really good at studying things might not like the social thing as much. Other people that are not so good at studying things love the social thing. So I understand that. But everybody, God has not made anybody relationally inept. He's not. He's not. If you struggle relationally, God has breakthrough for you. That's the nature of it. So listen, so here's what we end up doing. We say, here's an idea, and Brad got this from the Lord, I really do believe, and then we had peace on as we worked out and stuff. What if we did main service and then house church? Main service and then house church. Back and forth, back and forth. We've done it for 3 years. Do you know the million-dollar question that's been actually answering is church church when it's not in a church building, or God forbid if the pastor's not there? Now, our church was already in a great spot and ready to move in those sorts of directions, but I'm saying it's one thing to nod our heads to that sort of a commentary. Yeah, church isn't just the building. Okay, great, so we're not going to meet at the building today. Do we feel like it's less church not at the building? Do you see what I'm saying? Okay, and so now this ecclesia thing is starting, I believe, a next phase in something. I've also got some other news to share with you guys. Man, this is funny. I am so off page. Okay. I can get to your testimony in a minute, Aaron. Okay. I've got some other news to share with you guys, and that's that this building is actually being sold. Obviously, we've been renting from Christ Church Anglican. They've been here for over 100 years, I think, because the building was built in the 18-something, I think. When we moved in here years ago, probably 10 or 11 years ago, there were two basketball hoops in here. This was a gymnasium. Basketball hoop there. No carpet on the floor. Plywood floor, and the plywood was covered, you know, with like a bunch of black dust kind of thing. You could sweep and sweep and sweep, but it's just there. And no stage. The projection wasn't like that. In the winter, it was so cold that we had propane space heaters here that people started to get worried about carbon monoxide poisoning for people about. And up there, everyone would wear their winter coats all winter long. Up there, we didn't have children's church rooms proper. We had these sorts of chairs backed around each other with orange construction fencing. linked between all these things, right? This was before Brad took over. Put it right in order. Okay, so, humble beginnings, right? The space was not like this. So just want to let you know the space is being sold. I found out about that this spring, that was the plan. And it seems like that deal is going well and going through. You know how these sorts of, anytime you're buying anything big, there's always inspection periods and stuff. You never know if things will go through all the way, but it seems like it's going very well. The way it's going to work is that the new church that's coming in obviously would be here, but actually the Anglicans will stay for some period of time until they find a new space. So we would be the third church with third scheduling priority at that point, which means we couldn't have Sunday morning service. So we're going to be moving in all likelihood. You know, you don't want to boast about tomorrow or speak about tomorrow for sure. Lord willing, that's probably what will be happening, is that we'll be moving. Actually, very excited about it. It's going to be a task, you know, to move a church is a task, but I'm very excited about it. I'm trying to think what else to share with you. Time frame, I understand that deal might close mid-August to mid-September sort of thing, so somewhat soon. But depending on what the new church needs to do in terms of renovations, it could be they might not be able to move in right away, and it's really only once they move in that we'd kind of need to have something new. The board and I have been working diligently on this for some time. The Lord's doing an amazing thing with us. I feel like he's giving us a really neat concept and a really neat idea. I don't want to say too much more than that, but it's maybe a little out of the box concept about a space for us, and maybe a space that would align really well to the ecclesia type vision. So I'm actually quite excited about the whole thing. You know, sometimes birds need kicked out of the nest, and then they fly. So I'm excited about the whole thing. A few things you could do, you could be praying. A few things to pray for, I'm just going to give you a list, and then you can grab onto it. One, alignment. So that the Lord would align the space that he's giving for us, that we receive from him, with what he wants to do with our body. Architects make a lot of money by designing spaces that serve specific functions, and God has a space for us that will serve exactly how he wants us to move and flow as a church. The second thing I'd ask you to pray for is for straight paths, right? When you acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, he straightens your paths out. So the right things are available at the right time, in the right way, through the right people that you happen to meet, and all those sorts of things, right? Straight paths. And the last is favor. God said he'd surround us with favors with a shield. How much more his house will he surround with favors with a shield? One of my favorite prayers right now is I'll say, Lord, I receive what you have for us in terms of a space. That's one thing. And the other prayer that I love is I'll just remind him, God, it's your house. These are your people. I love that. He wants to care for us. So you cast your cares on. Isn't that awesome? I think that's it. Few things to be aware of. Anytime you're doing anything, anybody who's bought a house before, you know how the timing can be tricky. You're trying to get one thing sold and moved, and when's the next one available, and when the people that were in it before out of it, and you know how all those things can be. It can be even much more that way in a commercial space. Now, I'm believing that it's going to be super smooth, but I'm just saying in terms of timing, there could be some time between when the new church moves in here and we can't meet here on Sunday morning and we don't have our space either finished yet or we're still finalizing a contract or whatever. If that's the case, I just ask you guys be flexible, and I think it'll be fun. I think we're going to look back at this season very fondly and say, man, that was awesome. Look what God did. It was great what he did, and we had fun together doing it. But some of those structures might not be the same sort of structures. For instance, if we need to move the church and there's a timeliness to it or whatever, we might not have Sunday service one Sunday. We might have moving service one Sunday, which would be totally a family thing to do, wouldn't it? Isn't that just a beautiful family thing to do? We might move one Sunday. You're like, don't come dressed in your Sunday best. Come dressed in what you can move things in. Okay, and we'd move the church. Or if we need some space for some time, we could do a like church in the park for a time or something like that. We are pretty familiar with how to do that. The weather's still warm. So that's kind of the gist of where we're at with it. So I just want to bring you guys up to speed. Like I said, the board and I have been working on it for some time. We're moving on it, and I just wanted to bring you guys up to speed. I kind of had purposefully leaked it out to a few people, knowing that it would probably spread to a few other people. And but now I just want to make sure everybody's fully aware. So it'll be an exciting time. It'll be a bit of a task, but it'll be an exciting time. Trying to think what else to share about that. Good? So, okay. I might get to the sermon today. All that's been good, though, so far. Okay. As you guys know, we're a non-denominational Christian church where the Bible comes alive, and as commissioned believers, we operate in Christ's authority to preach the gospel everywhere, disciple nations, cast out demons, prophesy destiny, and speak with new tongues. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, protected from harm, and we lay hands on the sick who then recover. Amen. Quick testimony, and then I'll have Aaron's testimony. Protected from harm. We were supposed to go to my parents' lake house last week. All week long, we were supposed to go there. We were supposed to go there on, like, Tuesday, and we didn't go. And then on Wednesday, and we were like, I don't feel like we're supposed to go. Thursday, we still didn't go. Just things were coming up, and it just wasn't right, and we didn't have peace on it. But I kept thinking, I'm like, are we crazy? Like, we've delayed, like, 3 days. Get a call Thursday night. They had a tornado at my parents' lake house. Now, they happened to be out of the house, praise God. The house was totally fine. It was just covered in leafy debris. I can't describe it to you other than it's like leaves got plastered to the side of their house. 6 or 8 trees, some 80 feet tall, all went down in the backyard. Didn't touch anybody's house. Everybody's fine. The rain was apparently so torrential that the next door neighbors who were home couldn't even hear the trees fall over the sound of the rain. It was that intense. Now, where were we? Wondering why we hadn't gone out to the lake yet. Protected from harm. Now, can I tell you, that's the third time this has happened to me this year. Not tornado, but where the Lord's tried to protect me from harm. Now, do you know how many times I've actually succeeded in hearing it? One. The other time I got food poisoning, I was like, I don't want to be at this restaurant. And I told my friends, But I didn't tell them strongly, because I didn't have a reason to say, let's go to another restaurant. But if I did it again, do you know what I'd say? I really feel like we should go to another restaurant. Do you know what was happened later? I had food poisoning for a week, super bad, from that restaurant. I should have listened. Here's another one. Here's another one. The other one was, I won't share the other one. But what I'm learning is that the voice is very small sometimes. And peace is sometimes the strongest indicator of the voice. You feel like, I don't know why, but I don't have peace to do this thing that naturally. Guys, this is all the sermon right now. This is so practical what I'm telling you right now. I've been in, people have called to say, hey, do you want to get together for lunch before? And for some reason, good friends, the Lord says, no. I'm sorry, I won't be able to do that right now. Hope they don't ask why, because I've got no reason. Right? Then I find out it was going to be an inappropriate conversation where they are trying to manipulate something and move something around, and I would have been trapped in the conversation. It would have been very awkward or difficult. But instead, the Lord told me not to go to lunch with them. So this is a thing. God will protect you from harm. But what I've noticed is sometimes it's not like necessarily big blinking red lights. It's just like, why do I have a check? Why do I have a piece? Oh, I had another one recently. I was coaching a baseball team, and I was making the lineup for an inning, and I had changed what I was going to do for who was playing where so that we'd have a strong sixth inning defense for the last inning of the game. And I had this check on my heart. Do you guys ever feel that?
Yeah.
Like a weight on your heart? And I didn't stop to say, Lord, what is it? You know what ended up happening? We got so hosed in the fifth inning with our weaker defense in that we didn't even get to play a sixth inning. God cares so much about the little things of our life that even coach pitch baseball, he was trying to give me instruction to my heart to protect us from the harm of losing to our arch rival. Listen, you've got to listen for that peace. I'm telling you, there's been three instances this year where I've had it, and one time I listened and acted on it. One time I listened but didn't act strongly on it enough to tell someone, no, I'm not going to do that. And then another time I didn't say anything, and it, sure enough, that impression was a right impression, that there's something that's not right about this. We are the people of peace, the sheep of his pasture, and he's constantly has his rod out, and he's directing us, and he's saying, uh-uh, over here, over here, over here. And you're like, I don't know, but I just feel that thing kind of around my neck a little bit right now, and I've just learned, and I'm learning, right? What if I just listen to that just a little bit more closely, because he wants to protect us from harm. Okay, Aaron, come on up. You can share your testimony.
Okay, so this is a testimony. Half of us are going to already know about this because it happened at House Church. So I think there's a couple of things I want to emphasize before I say this. The first one is that one of the beautiful things about House Church is that it's R&D. It's research and development in so many ways. It's when I don't have a pastor standing over me telling me what's happening next, what does church look like? What is this? What is it for? Why are we here? And you know, I think there's lots of answers to that, but I've come to it, and I keep reminding myself to come to it as, Lord, I'm here with anticipation because I know this is your will, that I'm here without people to lead me. And I know that you have something you want to do, and I just open myself up, and what is it? Just help me walk there. And a lot of times I've noticed is that you get like little nudges here and there and here and there and here and there, and you're walking down a path and you ain't got a clue what you're doing. And it's not until you get to the end. Hold on, okay. It's not until you get to the end that you realize what the Lord is doing, and then you learn from it and you understand, and he gives you a new vision through that. So we're in House Church on Sunday. This whole big group of us, it was awesome. We've been worshiping. And as we're worshiping, I just have this sense, and I've gotten it before because, thank God, I've already R&D'd, and this has happened to me multiple times before in other settings. I get this really strong urge from the Lord that we're to spend some time praying in tongues together on purpose, because there's business that the Lord wants to do, and we don't know what it is, but he does, and he wants our mouths. He's like, can you please be my tool for a few minutes, because there's something I'm doing. and I'm inviting you. I want you to partner with me in doing it. So, and I've done this before, and I've seen fruit from it. So I speak up and I say, well, guys, I have no clue how to explain what it is that I'm sensing or why, but I just know that this is true and that the Lord is asking if we're gonna give him our mouths for a few minutes. There's something he wants to do. It might not be happening anywhere near us. We might never know what it was, but are you okay with doing it? So everyone gets on board. We pray in tongues for a couple of minutes, and there's real strong stuff on it, real strong lead of the Spirit on it. And I'm getting into some details because of a point that I want to make, okay? So oftentimes what happens to me when I'm praying is that the Holy Spirit will literally push or pull my body in a physical direction. Sometimes it'll be towards a person that I'm supposed to go talk to, and other times I'm like, I'm pulling that way. I don't know why. There's something going on over there. Like, I don't know what it is. And I kept feeling this pull. And then meanwhile, while we're all speaking, I can't remember exactly what order it happened in, but Peter asked the Lord in his heart, Lord, would you just give me an interpretation of the tongues that we're speaking right now so that I know what's going on? And the interpretation that he got was that we were praying for the soccer team in Thailand that got trapped in a cave. Some of you may have heard the story on the news. 12 boys and their soccer coach were stranded in a cave that had flooded. And they had been trapped there for 10 days. And Megan got the exact same word at the exact same time, and they said it at the same time. We're like, okay, well, that's clearly what's going on. And I looked it up later. The direction I was being pulled was towards Thailand. I like lined up your house on the map and was like, uh-huh, yeah, it was pointing right at Thailand. So then we start opening it up and we start praying in English, right? And different people started getting different things. And as they would have a sense of like, I really feel like we're supposed to pray this, we're like, great, you pray it. You know, Aaron got a vision. I remember Mandy got a word. I'm sure there were other people. It all was very like da 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 da. And we're praying, and there was weight on it, right? So, of course, we started doing research on what was going on. Did you know that Sunday, July 7th, is the day that the Thai government decided to go in and save the boys? Up until that day, they had already been in there for almost 14 days, and they had no way to get it out, get them out. The only method for actually going in and getting them out was so risky that the government didn't want to try it because it was almost suicidal and would have taken 100-plus volunteers, which is what happened. And they had probably, we were talking about the timing, they had probably just made the decision to go for it when the Lord stirred us up to pray. And then over the course of 3 days, they got all 13 people out. They are all alive and they are all healthy. Praise God. But there's two things that I wanna highlight about what happened. The first one is that that in Matthew 16:19, that Jesus said, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So us taking this risk of like, I don't know if this is doing any good. You know, we're like 3,000 miles away, 6,000 miles away from this country. We have no idea if what we're doing is doing any good, but it is. Because what we're binding here, standing in Columbus, Ohio, is binding something in heaven that is then affecting natural things in Thailand, and the things that we're loosing are doing the same thing. The other thing that we talked about then and that I want to talk about now is 1 Corinthians 12, and it's talking about the body, and in verse 14 it says, for in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Guys, listen. There were people sitting in that group that morning, I know, that didn't feel like they had anything to give to what the Lord was doing. They looked to Peter. They looked to me. They look to whoever it is that they've put on a pedestal and says, that person has giftings of God, and the thing that I offer doesn't have as much power. There are things that other people brought to that prayer that neither Peter or I have the capability of doing, because God designed it to be this way. God designed it that when the body comes together and does the work of the kingdom as a body, that is when the full power of God is released. So that's basically it. But my passion is just that we realize that, and House Church is so good at doing this, that it's not about your leader. And it's not about the person who seems to have the strongest or most obvious gifting. That some of the most powerful prayers that were prayed that morning were prayed by new believers who thought they had nothing to give.
So good. So good. That was a neat... I like what Aaron shared, that scripture, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. There's actually death and life in the power of our tongue. I've got another testimony. I think I'll share it. I've gone back and forth a few days thinking if I wanted to share this with you, but it really relates, and I shared it with the House Church that day, and I think it was helpful. We minister out of the measure of our faith. So you need to have faith in order to minister. A lot of times we're ministering out of a place where we don't have faith. Now, you can get more faith by hearing more of the word, hearing testimonies, etc., right? Or you can activate your faith. So I'm not saying you can't do something there, but I'm just aware of where am I at in my faith, and I don't get all condemned about that. If I didn't have faith for something at the time, I seek the Lord about it and get locked into his word and his promises, and the faith will rise, and you know, and I'll pray then for someone. I heard about these Thai boys trapped, and I thought, boy, I ought to do something about that. Now, I don't know if you guys feel like that, but this is the life of a kingdom son or daughter. I see that they're trapped, and I think, man, I ought to do something about that. That's my first thought. Because greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. And what I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But when I had that thought, do you know what my next thought was? Or not even thought, it was just like, I just don't feel it on me right now to do it. So my heart's to do it, but I don't feel to do it. Does that make sense? So here's what I do. Guys, this is all practical teaching. I say, Lord, if you have for me to pray for that, put it on me. In other words, I asked him for the grace to even have the faith to pray.
Amen.
Do you see what I did? Mm-hmm. That was like Friday. Sunday, we're at House Church. I'm not thinking about the Thai boys from anything. I did my part. I told the Lord, you put it on me. If you have for me to pray, I'm willing. You got to put that one on me. Sunday, Aaron says, we need to pray in tongues. I'm praying in tongues. We're all praying in tongues. And I remember what 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13 says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. And so I said, Lord, do you know how to pray that you may interpret? Lord, I ask for an interpretation. Instantly, the Thai boys come to mind. Do you know what that was? The interpretation. And then I start praying, and the tongue that's coming out of me feels a little bit different, and everything that I'm saying has a translation to it, specific things about the Thai boys coming out. And then, like Aaron said, different people then each have like a vision that they need to pray this, and different people had different things that they felt they needed to pray. And they prayed into all of those things. What happened? They're all out. Now, is that... what if it wasn't our prayers that did it? I don't care as long as they're free. It's immaterial. Who cares? One plants, another waters. Who cares? God supplies the increase. Okay? But that's just awesome. But death and life are actually in the power of our tongue. Yeah, I'll leave it there. Beautiful. Let me just highlight this as well. I had another experience with that was really profound, how directive it happened. 1 Corinthians 14:26, please. Just to highlight something Aaron said. How is it then, brethren? You can turn with me if you want. I kind of would like you to see it in your own Bible. 1 Corinthians 14:26. When I stop hearing the rustling, I'll know you're there. 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together? So this is speaking of like the normal thing that happens when the brothers and sisters of Christ come together. Each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. I love this. What Aaron just described, where we came together, she felt the lead of the Lord, people prayed in a tongue, we had an interpretation of tongues. Do you see? This is what Paul's saying. When you come together, all these sorts of things will naturally be happening. He's just saying, make sure everything's done for building others up, not for some sort of selfish motive. So again, I just want to highlight that, like Aaron said, every part of the body has something to play when we come together. Every part of the body is bringing something when we come together. Okay. By the way, I don't apologize, but just so you know, I really do have notes. 7 pages of them. Whole other teaching. I literally think it's just best I don't even start it. Nathan, right? Nathan? I just had the word for you, and I think I've maybe given you a word before, but I don't remember it exactly, but I just again have this word royalty, and the Lord has really made you royalty, and every believer is a king, and every believer is a priest, we see from the word of God, but there's a specific royalty that he's put upon your life that you're going to walk in the high places of society, in the high places of the world, but you're also going to walk in the heavenly places. And I believe that he's going to be releasing to you dreams and visions of heaven and dreams and visions of heaven's agenda. And as you start to see what heaven looks like over the next multiple years, as you're seeing more and more what heaven looks like and what he's wanting to do, concurrently, God's going to be increasingly promoting you and preparing you for spheres of influence that are very large. Every time I see you, there's something on you about that. There's a tremendous favor that's upon your life. A tremendous favor that's upon your life. I feel like studying King David would be like a really good thing to do. And how David stayed close to the Lord as the Lord prepared him for promotion. As the Lord prepared him for promotion. That's good. Okay. Let's do this. Go ahead and stand up. Go ahead and stand up. We'll just do a quick activation. We'll wrap. I was consulting in education recently, and the Lord had put this dream on my heart before I went there. And then I got there, and I didn't want to do it. Forgot about it. 30 minutes left in the day, we're about to wrap. The Lord says, are you going to do it? And I say, no. And he pushes on me a little bit. You know how God will do that sometimes? Like, it's like he totally honors your free will, but he also kind of like pushes on you. It's kind of like your wife. And my big fat Greek wedding. The man is the head, but the woman is the neck. Okay. So anyway, the Lord's like, are you going to do it? And I'm like, no. And then he says, you're not going to do it? And it's like, okay. So I lean over to the principal. I say, can I do something crazy? And she says, sure. I taught the teachers how to prophesy to each other. They prophesied to each other. It was super powerful. Weeping, all of that. Teachers give so much to the students all the time. Who's building into them? So I was teaching them that they've got encouraging words for one another and they can do it. Now listen, the things I'm doing with you guys, I'm doing them in education too. I'm doing them in education too. So we as a body need to be willing to go there, because if I can do that in education, surely we can do that in the church. Here's what I want to do. I want to release an impartation right now that you would be bringing the kingdom in greater measure into your sphere. Now, not through effort. I'm just saying through opportunity. This was not, look at my faith story here. Boy, this was heroic. God gave me a vision. I forgot about the vision. I'm there. He asked me if I'm going to do the vision. I say no. He says, you're not going to do the vision? My head turns, right? Like the neck turned my head. And I say, okay. You know, and I ask. It ended up being so easy, so beautiful, so powerful. But what I'm saying is God's going to give you opportunities. Let me give you another story. Recently, I'm meeting with someone, educational consulting, right? Do you know what I do in educational consulting often? I quote scripture. Do you know what I don't do in educational consulting? Give them chapter and verse. That wouldn't be helpful. And so I'm in a meeting, and I quote a proverb, or a psalm actually, but I don't quote it directly. I do it like a revelatory saying from the psalm, right? And the person across from me, like, they do a double take, and they're like, wow, that was good. Like that. That's what their face said. And they said, wow, that is so right. That, like, is exactly it. Do you know what I then do? Then I tell them chapter and verse. Oh, yeah, that's actually Psalms, like Psalms 127. I thought that was good. Wow. Listen, this has happened to me so many times. I've been at a school in Kentucky, and they asked me to speak to their parents, and I speak, and I had asked the Lord to give me a word for them, prophetic words, because there were issues going on at the school, and I gave multiple prophetic words to the school body, and then it was a standing ovation at the end, and they came up, and people said, where did you get that stuff from? And I said, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and I asked Jesus to speak to me, and I asked him today what he wanted to say to you. He told me three things, and those are the things I told you today. I want to release you, go ahead, you're going to get it right now, release to you, according to your measure of faith, right now, an impartation for the kingdom in your sphere. The kingdom in your sphere, in Jesus' name, be released to you. And right now, I pray you double it, Lord. What you've already been walking and what I've already been walking, I pray you double it, Lord. Double it, double it, double it. Lord, it's not going to be by strife, it's not going to be by effort, but release to each of us now opportunities, and just even a willingness to say yes to you. Because, Lord, as we say yes to you, we're going to see your faithfulness. We're going to see your faithfulness. And when we see your faithfulness, we'll more easily say yes to you. So I say double it, increase it, kingdom, whew, be released in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I had four sermons I wanted to do today. And I only prepped one, believe it or not. I ended up teaching one of the ones that I didn't prep. And then another one that is going to be down the line further about activating the kingdom in your sphere, that sort of thing. And so that's down the line probably further. I just heard the Lord. When I just did that activation with you, here's what the Lord instantly just said, you did more good in that activation than you would have done an entire sermon. So just watch yourself, because there was power in that activation. Okay? All right. Well, give the Lord a round of applause. Today was fun. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, I love you all. If anybody needs prayer, please come up. Guys, I love you. This is family. This is fun. It's going to be an exciting season. We're going to look back on this season and say, that was awesome. Some things took flight in this season. Amen.